Chapter 46 Commander Rudy Gunn stood on the bridge of the Capricorn and watched a tiny blue speck far to the west materialize out of the diamond-clear sky. For a few minutes it seemed to hang there, neither changing shape nor growing larger. A dark blue dot suspended above the horizon, and then, almost all at once, it enlarged and took on the shape of a helicopter. He made his way to the landing pad after the superstructure and stood waiting as the craft approached and hovered above the ship. 30 seconds later, the skids kissed the flight pad, the whine of the turbines died away, and the blades slowly idled to a stop. Gunn moved in closer as the right-hand door opened and Pitt stepped out. "Good trip?" Gunn asked. "Interesting," Pitt replied. Pitt read the strain in Gunn's face. The lines around the little man's eyes were set tight, and his face was grim. "You look like a kid who just had his Christmas present stolen, Rudy. What's the problem?" "The Uranus oil sub, the Deep Fathom. She's trapped on the wreck." Pitt was silent for a moment. Then he asked simply, "Admiral Sandecker?" "He set up his headquarters on the Bomberger. Since it was the Deep Fathom's tender, he thought it'd be better to conduct the rescue mission from there until you returned." "You say was, as if the sub is as good as lost."
"It doesn't look good. Come topside, and I'll fill you in on the details."
There was an air of tension and despair in the Capricorn's operations room. The usually gregarious Giordino simply nodded at Pitt's arrival, totally bypassing any word of greeting. Ben Drummer was on the microphone, talking to the crew of the Deep Fathom, encouraging them with a show of forced cheer and optimism that was betrayed by the dread in his eyes. Rick Spencer, the salvage operations equipment engineer, was gazing in mute concentration at the TV monitors. The other men in the room went about their business quietly, their faces pensive. Gunn began explaining the situation. 2 hours before she was to ascend and change crews, the Deep Fathom, manned by engineers Joe Keel, Tom Chavez, and Sam Merker— "Merker was with you on the Lorelei Current expedition," Pitt interrupted.
"So was Monk,"
Gunn nodded solemnly. "It would seem we're a cursed crew."
"Go on."
"They were in the midst of installing a pressure bleed valve on the starboard side of the Titanic's focal deck bulkheads when their stern brushed against a forward cargo crane. The corroded mounts broke loose, and the derrick section fell across the sub's buoyancy tanks, rupturing them. More than 2 tons of water poured through the opening and pinned her hull to the wreck."
"How long ago did it happen?" Pitt asked.
"About 3.5 hours ago."
"Then why all the gloom? You people act as if there wasn't a prayer. The Deep Fathom carries enough oxygen in her reserve system to support a crew of 3 for over a week. Plenty of time for Sappho 1 and 2 to seal the air tanks and pump clear the water."
"It's not all that simple," Gunn said. 6 hours is all we've got."
"How do you figure a 6-hour margin?"
"I left the worst part for last." Gunn stared bleakly at Pitt. "The impact from the falling crane cracked a welded seam on the Deep Fathom's hull. It's only a tiny pinhole, but the tremendous pressure at that depth is forcing the sea into the cabin at the rate of 4 gallons a minute. It's a miracle the seam hasn't burst, collapsing the hull and crushing those guys to jelly." He tilted his head toward the clock over the computer panel. 6 hours is all they've got before the water fills the cabin and they drown, and there's not a damn thing we can do about it."
"Why not plug the leak from the outside with wet steel?"
"Easier said than done. We can't get at it. The section of the hull seam that contains the leak is jammed against the Titanic's focal bulkhead. The Admiral sent down the other 3 submersibles in the hope that their combined power could move the Deep Fathom just enough to reach and repair the damage. It was no go." Pitt sat down in a chair, picked up a pencil, and began making notations on a pad. "The Sea Slug is equipped with cutting equipment. If she could attack the derrick—" "Negative. Gunn shook his head in frustration. During the tugging operation, the sea slug broke her manipulator arm. She's back on the MODOK's deck now, and the Navy boys say it's impossible to repair the arm in time.
Gunn slammed his fist down on the chart table. Our last hope was the winch on the Bomberger. If it was possible to attach a cable to the derrick, we might have pulled it free of the sub.
End of rescue, Pitt said. The sea slug is the only submersible we've got that's equipped with a heavy-duty manipulator arm, and without it, there's no way of making a hookup with the cable.
Gunn rubbed his eyes wearily. After thousands of man-hours poured into the planning and construction of every backup safety system conceivable, and the calculating of concise emergency procedures for every predictable contingency, the unforeseen rose up and smacked us below the belt with a beyond-the-bounds-of-probability, million-to-one accident the computers didn't count on.
Computers are only as good as the data fed into them, Pitt said. He moved over to the radio and took the microphone from Drummer's hand.
Deep Fathom, this is Pitt. Over.
Nice to hear your cheery voice again, Merker came over the speaker, as calmly as if he were on the telephone lying at home in bed. Why don't you drop down and make up a fourth for bridge?
Not my game, Pitt answered matter-of-factly. How much time left before the water reaches your batteries?
At the rate she's rising, approximately another 15 to 20 minutes.
Pitt turned to Gunn and said what needed no saying. When their batteries go, they'll be out of communication.
Gunn nodded. The Sappho 2 is standing by to keep them company. That's about all we can do.
Pitt pressed the mic button again.
Merker, how about your life support system?
What life support system? That crapped out half an hour ago. We're existing on bad breath.
I'll send you down a case of certs.
Better make it fast. Chavez has a malignant case of halitosis.
Then a trace of doubt surfaced in Merker's tone.
If the worst happens and we don't see you guys again, at least we'll be surrounded by good company down here.
Merker's abrupt reference to the Titanic's dead left every man in the operations room a shade paler. Every man, that is, except Pitt.
He touched the transmit button.
Just see to it you leave a clean ship. We may want to use it again.
Pitt out.
It was interesting to see the reaction to Pitt's seemingly callous remark. Giordino, Gunn, Spencer, and the others just stared at him. Only Drummer displayed an expression of anger.
Pitt touched Curly, the radio operator, on the shoulder.
Patch me into the Admiral on the Bomberger, but use a different frequency.
Curly looked up.
You don't want those guys on the Deep Fathom to hear?
What they don't know won't hurt 'em, said Pitt coldly. Now hurry it up.
Moments later, Sandecker's voice boomed over the speaker.
Capricorn, this is Admiral Sandecker. Over.
Pitt here, Admiral.
Sandecker wasted no time on niceties.
You're aware of what we're up against?
Gunn has briefed me, Pitt replied.
Then you know we've exhausted every avenue. No matter how you slice it, time's the enemy. If we could stall the inevitable for another 10 hours, we'd have a fighting chance of saving him.
There's one other way, Pitt said. The odds are high, but mathematically it's possible.
I'm open to suggestions.
Pitt hesitated. To begin with, we forget the Deep Fathom for the moment and turn our energies in another direction.
Drummer came close to him.
What are you saying, Pitt? What goes on here? Forget the Deep Fathom, he shouted through twitching lips. Are you mad?
Pitt smiled a disarming smile. The last desperate roll of the dice, Drummer. You people failed, and failed miserably. You may be God's gift to the world of marine salvage, but as a rescue force you come off like a bunch of amateurs. Bad luck compounded your mistakes, and now you sit around whining that all is lost. Well, all is not lost, gentlemen. We're going to change the rules of the game and put the Deep Fathom on the surface before the 6-hour deadline, which, if my watch serves me,
is now down to 5 hours and 43 minutes.
Giardino looked at Pitt.
Do you really think it can be done?
I really think it can be done.